content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is All About Pets. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Catster.com and Dogster Magazine. We'll start today's program with an article from Catster.com titled Prosthetic for Three-Legged Cat by Kelly B. Gormley. Cats and dogs are animals with three legs and a spare. As Dr. Beth Gallis and other veterinarians often say when encountering a tripod pet. But still, there are some kitties with special conditions, like severe obesity, arthritis, or other mobility issues, who may struggle to walk well on just three limbs. That's where a prosthetic, otherwise uncommon with pets, may be helpful, Dr. Gallis says. Olive, a three-legged brown tabby, became a guinea pig for biological systems engineering students at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. For their senior project, this group of students used a 3D printer to create a prosthetic kitty leg. Olive, who was missing part of her left foreleg, was a real trooper through the whole process. Meanwhile, Olive, a rescue from the Capital Humane Society in Lincoln, found her forever home with Dr. Gallis, whose family fell in love with the kitty as the veterinarian fostered her. Olive is the sweetest cat, Dr. Gallis says. I brought her home to foster during this project, and after about one day, I knew my children would be devastated if she left again. The project started in spring 2020, when an obese cat at the local Humane Society needed a front leg amputation. Dr. Gallis and shelter staff, concerned that the cat couldn't walk on her own after the operation, contacted the university's engineering department to ask about making a kitty prosthetic. But then the COVID-19 pandemic hit and the shutdowns derailed plans. When Olive came into the shelter in the fall of 2020, the team revisited the idea of creating a ready-made cat prosthetic for cats that might have an unusually hard time missing a leg. In those cases, a temporary prosthetic may be very useful as we treat and optimize the animal for life on three legs, such as losing weight or treating and controlling the arthritis pain and inflammation. Abby Smith, Harrison Grasso, and three other students got started on the project with Olive early in 2021. They had regular hour-long sessions with her over a few months. Abby, who graduated in May, said the project sounded tricky. The students weren't expecting to work with animals, and nobody had much experience with cats. I think we got very lucky in that Olive is one of the sweetest cats I've ever been around, says Abby, who was surprised because she wasn't expecting a cat to be cooperative. She was kind and a good sport throughout it all and was so kind to us. She never lashed out or anything at us or at Dr. Gallis or the veterinary staff. She was honestly an angel throughout the entire project. The students used a 3D printer to make the prosthetic out of polylactic acid after three or four iterations. It attaches to the cat's leg with Velcro straps and the help of a silicone sleeve. They printed out several prosthetics for the Humane Society. The shelter will be prepared if a kitty needing the help comes. Olive, whom her family calls Ollie, shares her home with her human family, which includes three young boys. She also lives with two other critters, a beagle named Millie, who she tolerates, and a guinea pig named Halloween. She isn't much of a lab cat, but Ollie loves to play and sit with her family and watch birds. Next, we'll move on to an article titled Limited Ingredient Food and Treats by Arden Moore. What if your cat develops an allergy to a specific food or something in his environment, such as pollen? Or may start battling a disease, such as diabetes or kidney disease. Or he may be stressed and his digestive system is being pummeled. Unfortunately, your cat isn't able to notify you about a specific ingredient causing him to have an upset stomach or take away his appetite or cause his skin to itch like crazy. He feels miserable. You feel miserable and a bit baffled and certainly frustrated. How can you help a cat with cat issues? One strategy growing in popularity answers to the initials LID. That stands for Limited Ingredient Diet. Understanding LID. By definition, LID usually contains one single protein source that is usually novel, such as duck, rabbit, or venison, and it contains only one or two carbohydrates, such as sweet potatoes or peas, as well as limited fats. That begs the question, when it comes to what you feed your cat, is less more, or better? Just how many ingredients and what ingredients does your cat need to receive a nutritious, balanced diet? The answer, it's complicated. We recognize that food is fuel and fortifies our cats and ourselves. Picking the right diet for your cat depends on these key factors: your cat's age, breed, health condition, and activity level. If a cat has a medical issue, such as diabetes, your veterinarian will recommend tailoring the diet to meet the needs of that cat. But if your cat does not have a medical issue, it can be beneficial to expose him to lots of different ingredients. This is Dr. Lowell Ackerman, board-certified veterinary dermatologist and author from Westboro, Massachusetts. Food allergies are tricky. LID often enters the scene when your cat's eating habits and overall health take a downturn. Your cat shows symptoms such as chronic vomiting, chronic diarrhea, itchy inflamed skin, frequent ear infections. In these situations, your veterinarians may recommend a limited ingredient diet to possibly identify a food allergy as the culprit as a first line of action. It may or may not solve the issue. Allergies can develop over time to things your cat has been introduced to, Dr. Ackerman says. That is why a cat may develop an allergy to a cat food you've been feeding him for years. If you only ate cod, would that be a good idea? It's much better to balance your diet with more ingredients for you or your cat. Elizabeth Collarin, doctorate of veterinary medicine, past president of the American Academy of Feline Practitioners, who operates the cat-only Chico Hospital for Cats in Chico, California, weighs in. Cats are drawn to certain foods by three factors: mouthfeel, odor, and taste, she says. Variety can provide a way to change diets easily when it becomes necessary for health or other reasons. But cats who lose interest in food that they have previously preferred should always be investigated for an underlying medical reason or environmental stress. Quality protein is a must. Dr. Collarin adds that adult cats require diets that contain at least 40% protein for overall health, muscle tone, and energy. Cats are obligate carnivores, a fancy term for proclaiming that their bodies depend on ample amounts of quality protein to thrive. Loss of muscle over the spine of the back, top of the head, or rear limbs is the most important sign that the diet is inadequate, she says. Inadequate fat or protein will affect a cat's skin and coat quality, and carbohydrate-heavy diets create a terrible obesity problem. For my cats, I pay close attention to their overall eating habits and health. I feed them canned food made by Waruva because of its limited ingredients and because the company has never incurred a food recall. As for treats, I now hand out limited protein treats, such as those made by Whole Life Pet and Simply Treats for Cats. You guys can accurately inform my veterinarian exactly what ingredients my cats are consuming should a health problem arise. Some quality LID products are grain-free and contain vital supplements, such as omega-3 and omega-6, to boost healthy skin and coats. Parting advice. Always read the label's lineup of ingredients. Select those that contain real meats and not chicken meal. Be on the lookout for any additives or food colorings, preservatives, or artificial flavorings such as monosodium glutamate, MSG. Food allergy and intolerance are much more complicated than they seem. Work closely with your veterinarian, and with some patience and determination, the cause of what's afflicting your cat's health can be identified and properly treated. Next, we'll move on to an article by Steve Dale titled, Why Cats Make the Best Pets. There are more cats than dogs in the United States, according to American Pet Products Association. 94 million cats and 90 million dogs. Cats rule for many reasons, including ease of care. Got cat? There's lots you don't need to deal with. Here are 12 examples. Great for couch potatoes. Of course, dogs love to snuggle on the sofa, but they also require time outdoors on a leash. True enough, walking a cat on a leash and harness is an option some cats increasingly enjoy, and it may be enriching, but it's not a daily requirement. Instead, with a cat, it's all about shut-eye, lazing in your favorite seat while kitty makes bread and purrs away in your lap. Easy potty pickups. If you're a responsible dog parent, plastic bags must go with you wherever you take your pup. That's no such issue for cat parents, as scooping a litter box is only a room or two away. Rain, sleet, and snow, no worries. In northern cities, a winter coat for the dog might be a must, and after slipping on your own boots, now comes the struggle to put on the dog booties, and there are four paws to deal with. If you're lucky, the pup does his business fast while the snow is falling and the wind is blowing. Then there's the rain. Even with a slicker on you, you'll be dealing with a stinky wet dog. Dog parents deal with more inclement weather than postal carriers. Too cool for drool. What's that rag you carry around? The proud parent of a mastiff answers to catch drool. Some dog breeds may create enough slobber to drown a kitten. The very notion of shaking a head with drool flying everywhere which way would even offend finicky felines' sensibilities. Freezer full of mice. It's been said that an ideal diet for an indoor cat is a mouse in a can. Be careful what you ask for. What if you really had to deal with that? Welcome to the world of some pet reptiles such as boa constrictors and various large lizards that devour a mouse in a single gulp. Imagine the response from your house guest, Grandma Rose, when she wanders over to the freezer late at night to get a scoop of ice cream and instead grabs a frozen pinky mouse. Grandma Rose might fall over right there. Forget forever fetching. Cats require playtime, but except for kittens and maybe some Abyssinians and Japanese bobtail, they don't truly have canine endurance. You can get tennis elbow playing nonstop fetch for 30 minutes with a goofy Labrador. No such problem for cats who will give it up long before half an hour. Pepe Le Pew, ooh! Cats are, of course, meticulously clean, taking their own bath whenever needed. If you ever smelled a European ferret, in truth, it's not that ferrets are dirty. Like Pigpen from Peanuts, ferrets carry around their odor with them. After all, these guys are a relative of a skunk. Ferrets are delightfully entertaining pets, but you may need a clothespin for your nose. There is no such issue with cats. Keeping it clean. Let's face it, it's the truth. Some dogs, especially hound dogs, may have a certain smell about them. Many dogs love to roll in the grossest smelling thing they can find, from a dead animal to manure. Even writing about such a horrendous habit is arguably distasteful in a cat magazine. No cat would ever entertain the notion of joyfully rolling in anything so gross. Love thy neighbor. Neighbors never complain about barking or squawking cats. That's because they don't. At their loudest, the person on the other side of the wall in an apartment or condominium isn't likely to hear a cat like they would a dog or parrot. It's not that cats don't have a lot to say, they're simply less raucous about how they say it. Howl no. Some dogs may howl for no apparent reason, perhaps at the moon or more likely the sounds of first responders, fire engines, and police cars. Cats don't howl at anything. Go your own way. Herding dogs are downright brilliant, but often their innate herding skills can be annoying to live with, such as Shetland sheepdogs, border collies, or Australian shepherds nipping at running children as they work to keep everyone in line. Cats don't care. There's no need to nip on anyone's tail. Nice to be never drafted. So far, the U.S. military hasn't put cats to work. There are no bomb-sniffing cats or cats protecting military bases. The U.S. military has not employed cats to detect landmines. No doubt cats could do it, I'm just not sure they can follow military orders. However, cats do require us to follow their orders. When cats give the orders, they may be drafted, but as a commanding officer. Next, we'll move on to Dogster Magazine, and we'll start with The Vet Is In by Dr. Ernie Ward. How to get that pill down. Told you she wouldn't take it. There I was, sprawled on my exam room floor, desperately trying to coax a capsule into the maw of a beast known to many as Sugar Bottoms. I was losing this clash between canine and human that threatened to dethrone me as the tamer of tablet takers. But this champion wasn't giving up yet. I had to reach inside my left coat pocket. Best medicine can't help if your dog won't take it. As Honey Princess, a.k.a. Sugar Bottoms, was proving, giving a dog a pill, tablet, or capsule can be a challenge, and then some. Over the past 30 years of veterinary practice, I've identified three of the toughest tablet takers, along with tips to get meds down the hatch where they can get to work healing your pooch. Before we start, many of you are thinking, I just popped the meds down, simple as that. And to you amazing humans, congratulations. Even better when it's the dogs who are awesome like that. For the rest of us, read on. Prying open a dog's mouth and shoving a pill down their throat can be terrifying for the dog, potentially cause injury during the struggle, create fear and distrust. Did I mention it's just not very nice? Let's focus on less intimidating and more compassionate methods. The picky pill popper. Concealing your dog's meds in a favorite treat is undoubtedly the easiest and most successful method. Coating capsules with peanut butter, spray cheese, or honey, or concealing them inside a veggie dog are my go-to tricks. Wrapping with cheese or stuffing in a banana or bread slice, baked tofu chunks, or sausage also work for most puppers. To amp the appeal for even pickier pooches, try burying the dose in a hunk of canned puppy food. If you can resist the aroma and flavors of a growth formula's high fat levels, if that fails, try plopping it in baby food or hiding within mixed texture foods, such as a scoopful of rice and beans or meat. Sometimes by adding meds with mixed crunchy consistencies and aromatic foods, they'll forget the pill is in there. A spitter. The spitter wins by either coughing up a pill you've worked hard to get down, or after he dissects and devours whatever you hid the medication inside. If you know, you know. The most winning tactic with a spitter is to make a nearly impossible separate pill from pâté, or make the taste doggone irresistible, he wouldn't dare miss a morsel. Most of the tricks used on picky poppers work here, but you may have to level up your game to win over a spitter. Sometimes simply increasing the size of the food you hide the meds, half the veggie dog to a hole, helps discourage selective spitting. It's too much goodness. And other times a change in flavor profiles, more sweet, salty, sweet versus savory, etc. is what your vet orders. Regardless of your approach, always observe your dog until you're certain the meds are on their way to their stomach. I once had a patient's thyroid levels fail to budge after 3 increases in dosage. Turned out the clever cocker was converting, chucking his meds behind the couch. Secret spitters can be hard to spot. The clencher. The clencher is without equal when it comes to refusing meds. He is infinitely picky, able to dig out the most cunningly concealed pills. And good luck if you try to wrest open those jaws of steels. This is when I reach into my left pocket. Before I share my final measure to medicate, I've got to admit it's not foolproof. I found that if I try too many tricks, the clencher becomes wary of my motives and nothing will persuade that pill down. If this happens to you, I discovered that giving a food reward or 3 without the meds and trying again in an hour or 2 is the only smart move. If you escalate your efforts and forcefully cram the pill down, you're only going to make the next dosing more difficult. When I'm out of options, flopped on the floor, unable to wipe tears of defeat from my eyes because my hands are drenched in doggy drool, I crack open a can of the smelliest, goopiest, most succulent kitten food I can find. Where is the dog willing, able to resist the wafting wonderfulness that awaits? I proudly prefer the tin and the tastiness and move away. 9 out of 10, I exit the exam room a winner. I hope these tips and tricks help you give your dog medication and crown you tamer of tablet takers. Whatever type of dog you have or tactic you choose, make the experience as pleasant as possible. Many dogs need meds, may not feel well, making swallowing pills even more of a chore. Bring out your culinary creativity, take it slow, be patient, and always be kind when dealing with a tough tablet taker. And now we'll move on to Miss Manners. I always like her tips by Victoria Stilwell. And this is Easy Ways to Stop the Bark. Dogs communicate using a variety of vocal signals, including howling, whining, growling, yelping, and barking. While most of this language is easy for humans to understand, constant barking can make even the most informed of caregivers tear their hair out in frustration. Dogs who bark excessively cause their families such distress that some resort to using equipment like anti-bark collars just to get some peace. While these devices might promise a quick fix cure, they are highly aversive and generally cause dogs more distress, putting a band-aid on a problem without addressing the root cause. The good news is that barking can be modified without the use of aversive methods or equipment once the cause of the behavior is understood. One bark doesn't fit all. Research has shown that not only are all barks not the same, humans are reasonably well attuned to what different barks mean. This seemingly innate understanding must be due to the bond that people have shared with dogs for thousands of years. After all, some dogs were selectively bred to have loud voices once their usefulness as man's first alarm system was recognized. This skill was harnessed and used to protect property and livestock, as well as alerting hunters to a potential prey source. If you live with a barker and are at the end of your tether with a constant noise, start investigating why your dog is barking, because you do not have to live like this. Dogs bark for many reasons, such as to get human attention as a warning, in response to other barking dogs, when they are anxious or when excited, and it is important to identify what triggers the barking before teaching begins. Barking for attention. If your dog barks to get attention, try not to reward her demands with your attention. Don't be tempted to tell your dog off because you might inadvertently be rewarding her for barking, even if your response is a negative one. In this case, 1, ignore the barking. 2, wait for 5 seconds of quiet and then reward your dog with attention for being quiet. This way, your dog learns that she gets nothing from you when she barks and everything when she is quiet. Ignoring behaviors can negatively impact dogs too, however. Make sure your dog is not demanding attention because she needs to tell you something really important, which you are then ignoring. Don't bark back. When dogs bark, we tend to shout back at them, but if we do the opposite and stay still and calm, it can have a more profound effect. Dogs learn so much by watching people, and social learning can be very powerful. This means that dogs learn by what people do, and in order to use the power of social learning to the fullest, it takes awareness of one's own body language. Yes, it can be frustrating not to bark back at the barking dog, but it is really up to you to find ways to modify the barking after you've identified the cause. Excited barking. A dog who barks when she gets excited, like before being fed or going for a walk, is harder to work with because a person's pre-feeding or pre-departure cues are usually highly ritualized. For example, if the barking happens as soon as you go for your dog's leash to take her for a walk, 1, drop the leash and go sit down. 2, keep repeating this until your dog is quiet. 3, if you successfully attach the leash but she barks as soon as she gets outside, immediately come back inside. This technique requires patience, but if you're diligent, your dog will quickly learn that being quiet equals a walk. If your dog barks excitedly in the backyard, 1, take her back into the house and only allow her out again when she is quiet. 2, keep repeating if necessary and never leave her in the backyard unattended. Reactive barking. If she reacts and barks at other dogs or people inside or outside the home, it might be due to inadequate socialization and she feels uncomfortable. In this case, 1, your dog needs a program where she can learn to cope in social situations. Start these programs with a certified positive and humane trainer well ahead of any family gatherings or holiday celebrations you might be planning. 2, it might be easier for your dog to spend time in a safe space behind a baby gate with some enrichment toys to play with than interact with people she does not feel comfortable with. Separation barking. Dogs who suffer from anxiety when left alone will often bark excessively in the first 30 minutes after departure, while some will continue to bark until their person comes home. If your dog barks on separation anxiety, you must get a trainer to help, as separation anxiety can be very difficult behavior to modify. Alert barking. If your dog is barking, sometimes you might not see or hear the cause. Alert barking. Dogs tend to be sound sensitive and respond to noises they hear in the distance, including sounds that the human ear cannot hear. You might wonder why your dog suddenly wakes up from a deep sleep and starts barking seemingly at nothing, but she's definitely heard something, even if you haven't. Barking alternatives. This brings me to my last point. As long as your dog has a clean bill of health from the veterinarian, one of the best remedies for dog barking excessively is to give them more outlets and opportunities for enrichment throughout the day, like walking or doing a discharging activity like chewing on a toy. Giving your dog barking these outlets goes a long way to having a peaceful, bark-free home. Next, we'll move on to Cool Dog People, End of Life Support by Wendy Newell. The end of your dog's life can be stressful and overwhelming, not to mention incredibly sad. These people have made it their jobs to help. Dr. Sandra Byland, animal chaplain, humane educator, and artist. Working at the front desk of an animal hospital, Dr. Sandra Byland saw people bringing their beloved pets to euthanasia appointments. They would walk out alone, obviously emotional about what they had just gone through, then be asked to pay and go home. If instead of a pet, the loss was a human at the hospital, those grieving could have a chaplain hold their hand, walk them to the car, talk to them about what they were experiencing, and help them move forward. Shouldn't there be animal chaplains too? Sandra became one, and people started coming to her for help. Her goal is to help people transform grief into wonderful working energy where they can move forward in their life with the memory of their pet. She developed the first animal chaplain training program, an animal bereavement support program that gives people tools to work through their experiences. While working at Best Friends Animal Society, she developed national programs on kindness and compassion for animals. Finally, she earned her doctorate in humane religious studies, the first person to do that. Through her work, she kept hearing people say they could wish they could have something to hold that reminded them of their pet. A talented artist, Sandra developed jewelry keepsakes she calls heaven stones, made using a small amount of the pet's remains. Sandra considers the backbone of creating each piece of jewelry the connection she has with her customer. She spends as much time listening to a pet owner's story as she does making the custom pieces. She believes the most important thing she can convey to pet owners needing support is that their pet's gift to them is who they have become through their relationship with their animal family member, and that gift is forever. You can learn more about Dr. Byland at heavenstones.net. Nancy Mello, Pet Communicator. Nancy Mello has been practicing psychic medium for years, doing readings with humans before she realized she had the capability to communicate with animals. On a flight home from Chicago, a little Chihuahua sitting next to her reached out. Tired from a long weekend of readings, Nancy didn't want to cooperate, and wasn't until the dog promised to leave her alone if she just wrote down what he said that she gave in. He was the first of hundreds of animals she would hear from. One of her early clients was a beautiful dog named Cleo, who told Nancy about what she wanted to do before she passed. It allowed her owner the chance to faithfully check off the items on the dog's bucket list. Before she passed, Cleo told Nancy about her dog friend that was waiting for her on the other side and that she was excited to be able to play together again. With Nancy there to interpret, Cleo was able to tell her mom exactly how she wanted to cross over. It made for a very peaceful transition. Being a medium has changed the way Nancy looks at death. She knows what awaits the animals she speaks to. Upon crossing over, a dog is usually met by his friends or the other pets who shared the same owner, along with at least one human who has a connection to the dog, she says. Her customers get to feel relief. I can give them peace and permission to let go of the grief, she says. Often there is so much guilt that we didn't do enough. We could have done something different. I affirm that they did what they could. It gives them closure. Learn more about Nancy at nancymello, MELLO.com. Dr. Christine Maxfield, in-home vet, Massachusetts and Rhode Island. If you told Dr. Christine Maxfield while she was in school that her future would be working as a vet focusing on in-home euthanasia, she would have laughed. But that's what she does, and she finds fulfillment in the help she gives families and their pets. While in vet school, she spent 2.5 years working with Tufts Pet Loss Support Hotline. Dr. Maxfield welcomed the chance for free training on how to help grieving pet owners. It was the beginning of the process that brought her to where she is today. While working as a general practitioner in a veterinary office, she realized the need for someone to help the pet in his home, especially when coming in the office, caused stress or pain. In 2012, she started her own business to fill the gap and started her in-home euthanasia and end-of-life support business. Dr. Maxfield says of euthanasia, it's a gift. It's something we do for them. It isn't something we do for the animal. It's something we do for them. She's received boxes and boxes of thank you cards and letters from the family she has helped. As an expert in what she does, Dr. Maxfield realizes that not all vets have the tools to help a family having trouble with end-of-life decisions. If you need help, she encourages you to reach out to someone like her whose focus is on end-of-life care. Learn more about Dr. Maxfield at imhomeeuthanasia.net. Diesel's Bucket List. Diesel is a 10-year-old Basset Hound and Labrador mix who shares his bucket list adventures with his Facebook followers. About 2 years ago, his human parents, Derek and Cassandra Severson, found a tumor on the roof of his mouth. It turned out to be an aggressive cancer. He was given 3 weeks or less to live. His folks credit CBD for the extra time they've been able to spend with him. With his internet friends making suggestions, Diesel's bucket list is over 70 items long. Here are some of his favorites. 1. Get a ride on a motorcycle. 2. Sleep under the stars. 3. Find my siblings. 4. Go to the fair. 5. Go paddleboarding. 6. Have a spa day. 7. Go trick-or-treating. 8. Professional pictures with mom and dad. And 9. Be in a magazine. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. All About Pets is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.